I'm Ronnie Allen. Welcome to today's lesson in musical appreciation. Today's course is Peggy King 101. Okay, it's time to do some learning.
A new point of view. I'm learning to love. A new kind of thrill, a chilly feeling whenever I speak your name. And I didn't know that so much feeling could ever be found in a game. Learning to love, be kind to me, please take it slow. For this is my first time, you know.
Pretty, perky, Peggy King. That's what they called her. Actually, that's what George Gobel called her way back when. That was Learning to Love. This is very special for me because it is my pleasure right now to introduce, and she's not on the phone, she's right here in the studio, Peggy King, Miss Peggy King. Thank you for doing the show with me.
It's my pleasure, Ronnie. You know that. It wasn't my pleasure getting here today, but...
That's another story. I don't think we want to go there. Folks, we almost didn't get here.
We almost didn't.
We almost didn't.
Traffic.
We almost didn't go here. You know, we were talking in the car. We were talking about when we were going to postpone the show till...
Yeah, that's the way it was.
But let's talk about more pleasant things. Learning to Love, that was your first recording.
My first recording for Mitch Miller in Columbia.
What year was that? Was that around 50?
55.
55. But that,
late 55, almost, yeah, late 55.
Late 55. But that was not the first thing that you became famous for.
No, it wasn't.
What was it?
I was living in Los Angeles, and someone called me and said that they needed me to come right away to the recording studio because Les Paul and Mary Ford had been on their way down from Las Vegas to record this singing commercial and had gotten in an accident. And could I come immediately and record this because it was scheduled to go on the air and they couldn't change it. So I went and recorded it, took the money, and figured that was the end of it. And it became, at that time, the most famous radio commercial that was ever made.
And what was the product?
Hunt's Tomato Sauce.
Well, can we bring back a few memories?
Yeah, sure.
This only runs about 9 seconds.
Yeah.
This is like the short version.
Well, actually, it is because I did the whole thing, yeah.
Right, but this is the short version of the Hunt's Tomato Sauce jingle.
I gotta cook and cook and cook, but I love to cook and cook and cook, because I get a kick out of cooking with Hunt's Tomato Sauce.
See, the difference that it made, it made a big difference, and I'll tell you what it is. Until that happened to me, people did commercials, but they kept it a secret.
Mm.
I had done a lot of commercials, but you didn't talk about it. But after that happened to me, then people would do them and say, that's me on there.
They actually were saying, that's Peggy King doing that.
Oh, yes. People in New York were making copies of it and playing it when they were not getting paid by Hunt. And that's what happened. Mitch Miller was driving along the East River. He happened to hear it on the radio about 5 o'clock at night, and he said he almost drove into the East River. And he called Joe Stafford, figuring that she might know me because we both lived in L.A. and we were both singers or whatever. And he called her, and she gave him my phone number, and he called me and he said, Peggy, this is Mitch Miller. And I said, this is Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and hung up. It's true, I did. And a few minutes later, the phone rang. It was Joe at Stafford, and she said, Peggy, that was Mitch Miller. So he called me back, and I suddenly had a recording contract.
Hope he wasn't insulted.
No, he thought it was hysterical.
Mitch Miller, of course, is the guy with the beard.
The man with the beard.
Man with the beard. Yeah. And actually, he became probably most well-known for his sing-along albums, but he was a lot more than just a sing-along man.
Do you know what he was before he was any of those things?
I bet he played a musical instrument.
He played the oboe.
Oh, yeah.
The oboe, and you know what they say, that, you know, the oboists get a head full of air that makes them a little weird, you know.
Are you saying that Mitch Miller has a head?
I'm just simply saying he was an oboist.
You're just talking in general about
yes,
oboe players.
Yes, just in
general. We're not talking about you, Mitch. Mitch could be listening
to
this.
No, actually, to be honest, Mitch was a genius. When you hear some of the other stuff, I mean, Mitch really knew what to do with me then.
Did Mitch Miller ever suggest a song to you that you said, oh, I really don't want to do that song?
I didn't want to do too many of the single ones. I wasn't crazy about most of them.
But I mean, could you say no to Mitch Miller?
Good heavens, no. Say no to Mitch Miller? Is the Pope Catholic? Oh, no. No.
He was the boss.
He was definitely the boss. I mean, it was a known fact. You did not quarrel with, you didn't even look like you were going to say, I don't like it. He was Mitch Miller. I can't explain it, but he was a god in those days.
We're going to get to a record now called Make Yourself Comfortable, and this was a charted record. It got to number 30 on the chart.
It was a big record for me. Yeah.
Now, you had some competition with this record.
Yeah, I did, but I think all songs should be done by more than one artist because that way the disc jockeys can pick out the one they want. You know, we all sing differently. There are people who lean toward country. There are people who lean toward jazz. There are people who are very commercial. At that time, I was very, very commercial.
This particular song was Make Yourself Comfortable, as I said. Did you have the original recording of it, or did Sarah Vaughan?
She covered my record.
I
had the original record, yes.
And this is Peggy King and Make Yourself Comfortable.
Yourself comfortable, ooh, make yourself comfortable, ooh, make yourself comfortable, baby. Put you in the mood. The phone is off the hook, so no one can intrude. I feel romantic, and the record changer's automatic, baby. Before the picture show was through, why did we hurry through the dinner, hurry through the dance, to leave some time for this, to hug a hug and kiss a kiss. Now take off your shoesies, dear, and loosen up your tie. Got some kisses here, let's try one on for size. I'll turn the lights low while you make yourself comfortable, baby. Yeah. hug a hug and kiss a kiss now.
Ooh. Take off your shoes, easy and blue.
Make yourself
your
comfortable.
Ooh.
I've got some kisses here. Let's try one.
Make yourself comfortable.
Ooh.
I'll turn the lights low while you
make yourself comfortable, baby.
That was Peggy King and Make Yourself Comfortable. I'm Ronnie Allen, and I am making myself comfortable. It's not hard to do because Peggy King is not on the phone. She is right here in the studio with me.
I haven't heard that record in a great many years. I mean, I now have a grandchild, so it's kind of, you know what? I think I should play that for Haley, my grandchild.
Well,
I think she'd like it. The two voices, you know, she'd think I had two voices.
I was asking you while that record was playing, which voice, you know, the words, which...
The Echo came second.
The Echo came second.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Percy Faith was the orchestra leader on that.
I don't think I ever worked with anybody else at Columbia. He was wonderful. He was nice and charming and kind of like very Noel Coward, you know, very elegant.
Did he play an instrument himself?
He probably played piano because almost all arrangers do. Some of them play another instrument. Most of them are pianists.
We're going to move along to a special project. It was a concept album, Girl Meets Boy. You were the girl.
I was the girl.
Jerry Vale was the boy.
Jerry Vale. I had to fly to New York to do it. Jerry had not done anything yet except nightclubs, and I didn't know him. And I was already on the Goebel show, so he knew me. But we met at the studio for the first time and immediately started in to do a duet.
He had not had any hit records at that point.
He had not recorded anything. That was his first recording. Yeah. I was very pleased when I first heard him sing because not knowing him, I knew it was going to work. I knew our voices were going to work.
And the sessions, I assume, were very poor.
There were three sessions. We didn't take months in those days.
What was the atmosphere at the session? It sounds very informal.
Mitch was very much in the booth calling out to you, saying all sorts of little things to do or don't do that or what do you think about this. Or it was all very comfortable.
We keep going to the word comfortable here.
Going back to that word.
From Girl Meets Boy, we're going to listen to The Boy Next Door, which you sing by yourself.
Yes.
And then we have the song about the Wattses and the Whoses.
Yeah, we hear Jerry knock on the door.
I think that's Jerry. Yeah. Would you like to take a walk? And you do that with him.
Yes.
Okay, let's take a listen to it right now. Peggy King and Jerry Vale. Girl Meets Boy.
The boy next door, la da 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 da. Doesn't try to please me, doesn't even tease me, and he never sees me glance his way. La da 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 da.
Take a walk.
Ooh, do you think it's gonna rain?
Ooh, how about a sarsaparilla?
Gee, the moon is yellow.
Something good will come from that. Ooh, have you heard the latest song?
Ooh,
pretty strain.
Ooh, don't you feel a little thrilly?
Gee, it's getting chilly.
Something good'll come from that.
When you're strolling through the Wes's, you need a hoose's to lean upon.
But when you have no hoose's to hug and watch it, gosh darn, would you like to take a walk?
Well, do you think it's gonna rain?
Peggy, I got my umbrella.
Oh, what a thoughtful fella.
Something good'll come from that.
Peggy, who did the whistling on that?
That's Jerry. Jerry did the whistling when it didn't come anywhere near him singing. Mitch did the whistling when it interfered with the singing, you know, when it was too quick to start singing after.
It's a pretty good whistler, Jerry.
Not bad.
Who's this and what's this?
Well, that's a song from the 20s, I think, isn't it, or 30s?
They don't write songs like that anymore.
Who's this and what's this, yeah.
That was the lead-off couple of songs on the album.
It was like the introduction.
Another song from that album was one called You Better Go Now, and it became a hit record for you as
well. Not only that, but it was banned in Boston, and that's the most wonderful thing that can happen to a singer.
Why was it banned in Boston?
Something about the way I breathed. For people listening today, that's just ludicrous, I know. But in those days, there were a lot of codes you had to live by when you were on either radio or television.
Was Boston the only place that banned it?
That was the big banning place, Boston.
But if Boston banned something, did it then get condemned in Cleveland?
No, No, everybody else played it.
It's such a pretty song, though.
It is.
Who picked out the songs for this particular album?
Mitch Miller.
So Mitch picked them all out?
Absolutely.
Peggy King and a hit record called You Better Go Now.
You better go now, because I like you much too much. You have a way with you. You ought to know now just why I like you very much. The night was gay with you. Much too much.
listening to that record, I do think that Boston overreacted just a bit, but I can understand how they listen to certain parts. They say, yeah, you know, it's like, it's kind of a sensuous type of a recording.
There was a little girl quality about me. I mean, if some very sexy singer, I'm trying to think of one, had done it, they wouldn't have said a word. They probably made it a hit, let's face it.
You remember Stan Freberg's recording of John and Marcia, where it went, John.
Marcia.
And apparently that got banned because they thought that was too suggestive. I don't know if it was Boston, but a lot of radio stations.
It was probably Boston.
Yeah, a lot of radio stations did not play it because they thought that was.
Can you imagine?
And all the whole thing is, John, Marcia, John,
well,
Marcia.
That was radio then.
That was radio then. Times have changed.
Yes, I'll say.
The George Gobel Show is what we're going to talk about next. One of the most popular TV shows in the country.
I had a local television show in Los Angeles every day. I was on for 2 hours. We did everything from games to giveaways to me singing 5 days a week. And I had been doing it for several months. I was on NBC local. And I got a phone call from somebody who knew what was going on in the business, who told me that I was going to get a call to do a show that was going on the network at NBC. And I, at that time, was very happy with the recording contract. I was very happy with the local show. I was doing very well. And I said, I don't think so. I don't think I want to do this. And the man who knew what he was talking about, and he said, Peggy, when you get this call, give them a chance. Go talk to them. Because I had never heard of George Gobel. I mean, I know that he was well-known, like Little Georgie Gobel on the barn dance and stuff, but I didn't know him. So I met them at the Brown Derby. I'll never forget because his whole group were there. Mm-hmm. And when I went in and they all stood up and they said, we want you to come and do our network show. It's going on the network in 3 weeks. And I said, I don't think so. And they said, why not? And I said, well, I have a local show and I have a recording contract. I said, let's go to this. Do you want me to audition? And they said, no, we see you every day on the local show. I said, okay, if you don't want me to audition, then I'll take your show. That was how that went.
And that's how it went.
Yeah.
And 3 weeks later?
3 weeks later, I couldn't walk down the street. It was at 10 o'clock at night, right after Gunsmoke. And it was it was just ridiculous. It just boomed.
During the show, you were George's girlfriend.
Well,
kind of.
That's always been a moot point. We were like girlfriend and boyfriend, yes, but Jeff Donnell played Alice, George's wife.
George's wife. So,
we got a lot of mail saying, how come George is allowed to have a wife and Peggy King?
Well, maybe you weren't a girlfriend. You were a girlfriend.
No, it looked like we were buddies or sweethearts or something. And especially when we did a duet or something, you know. But it was all acting, and people were getting their nose out of joint about it. There were pictures and covers and everything all over the place with us touching foreheads. That was the big thing. That was so famous.
The foreheads.
Yeah. Profile to profile, touching foreheads.
Right.
And we would do it on the show, too. And that was Hal Cantor, the head writer's idea. He thought that was cute.
And George Gobel was the one that nicknamed you Pretty Perky Peggy King.
Yes, George did. That's true. But, you know, I have to tell you some other stuff about the show. In the first place, Bud Yorkin, who became one of the most famous American directors of all time, movie directors, was our director.
Mm.
So we used to sit around and throw ideas at the read-through. Actually, it was kind of a three-way thing. George said, Pretty Peggy, and Hal Cantor said, Perky Peggy. And then Bud Yorkin said, Pretty Perky Peggy. Little children would come up to me on the street and say, are you Pretty Perky Peggy? You know.
Pretty Perky Peggy.
It's not that easy to say.
No, but it stuck.
Oh, did it ever. I remember when my kids were little, they came home to me one day. They were very upset, and my son said, Mommy, somebody at school said that you're Pretty Perky Peggy King. And I told him, no, you aren't. I had to tell John, well, I was. And now I'm your mommy, but I used to be Pretty Perky Peggy King.
We're going to experience something very special right now. I happened to get a hold of a recording of one of the actual George Gobel shows where you're doing a little dialogue with him and then you sing a song.
You going to play the song?
I'm going to play the song,
what
too.
What fun. I have never heard this.
Well, I'm not going to tell you what song I'm going to play, but I'm just going to surprise everybody. Here it is.
Hi, Peg. What are you doing here at the Beverly Wilshire?
Oh, I brought my mommy down here to see Santa Claus.
Does your mama believe in Santa Claus?
Well, she does in this one. He's my daddy.
Oh.
he He plays Santa Claus here every year.
Well, like I always say, Peggy, there's no business like show business. Now, after all, we don't want to fool anybody here tonight. Everybody knows that you're here to sing a song, so rather than fool them, why don't you just flat solid stand right here and sing it? Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll stand here and I'll try to sing it real solid and not flat.
Isn't she cute? She is just a teeny bundle of...
Did you say I've got a lot to learn? Well, don't think I'm trying not to learn. Since this is the perfect spot to learn. Ooh, teach me tonight. Starting with the ABC of it. Right down to the XYZ of it. Help me solve the mystery of it. Ooh, teach me tonight. The sky's a blackboard high above you. If a shooting star goes by, I'll use that star to write I love you. A thousand times across the sky, one thing isn't very clear, my love. Should the teacher stand so near, my love? Graduation's almost here, my love. Teach me.
That was real musical. And you know that while you were singing, we had the cameraman take a lot of real close-ups of your face.
Did you?
Uh-huh. This is in keeping with my policy to beautify living rooms all over the country.
Oh, well, thank you, George. And you're sweet.
No, I'm late. I have to pick up a present for Alice. She's coming home tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah, she had a fight with her mother. So she's coming home to me.
Well, gee, why don't you use the counselor here, the gift counselor. They've got a real good one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Peg. You're a heap of help.
That was great.
Do you remember it? You remember that whole thing? That particular show?
I did 90
show?
Of them.
90? I was going to ask how many you did.
Yes, I do remember that one. I really do, because I loved that John Scott Charter arrangement of Teach Me Tonight.
And he occasionally participated in the show itself.
Oh, yes, yes. I thought of him as my Uncle John. I mean, I used to hear from him long after. I remember that I was doing a network radio show in New York after I was married. As a matter of fact, I was expecting a child, and so radio, it was radio or nothing.
Yeah.
And I guess they played it at 6 o'clock on the coast, where he still lived, and he wrote me a song and said he drives along every night on his way back and forth to things, listening to me sing and remembering what a pleasure it was to work with me. I kept that letter. I'll never let that letter go.
This had to be such a precious experience to work with people like George Gobel and the other members of the cast for 3 seasons. You did 90 songs, as you said, but 90 different songs?
Oh, yes. 90. And some duets, too.
And some duets. Yeah. Wow, amazing.
And sometimes someone like Ernie Ford would come on, and I would have something to do with him. But the big thrill was that Ernie Borgnine was on the week he won the Academy Award. And that was a really big thrill, because all of us felt that he was going to win, but he didn't. We did a very funny thing with Ernie where he was a sheriff. I was a bad guy, Billy the Kid, and he was the sheriff. It was a riot.
The George Gobel Show was a live TV show. Back in those days, things were live, so there's no safety net. Being a live show, I guess occasionally something would go wrong and there couldn't be a retake. Do you recall any particular incident where something didn't happen exactly the way it was supposed
yes,
to?
Yes, well, there was no such thing as a retake. It was live.
Yes.
I had these two birds. I was singing Love and Marriage, and they were cockatoos. You know what they look like. They're bigger than a parakeet.
Okay.
One was in each cage. At the end, I was supposed to say, you can't have one without the other, and I was supposed to go take the one bird out of the one cage and put it in the other cage, but they flew into the audience.
Didn't anybody tell them what they were supposed to do?
I guess not. I just started to laugh. I mean, what else is there to do? Everybody was laughing. George was laughing. And there was nothing else to do but laugh.
And you know, something special like that, if it was the days of recording shows, they probably would have said, oh, let's just take it again.
Oh, they would.
And a priceless moment like that would never have surfaced.
Lots of things went wrong. We had wardrobe misfunctions, too, although not to the point that they do now. But, you know, or a heel would break on a shoe or, you know, one-way shoes or something. I mean,
right.
We had lots of...
You had innocent wardrobe misfunctions.
Yes, yes.
No Super Bowl stuff.
No, nothing like that.
Nothing like that. How many films did you do?
I only did three films. I was in a film called The Bad and the Beautiful with Lana Turner and Kirk Douglas, and I was in another film I can't remember the name of at Metro. How about that? I did a film just acting. You know, a lot of my career was just acting, too.
Right.
I did a film with Dana Andrews and Sterling Hayden and Linda Darnell called Zero Hour, where I played the stewardess. It was a true story in a plane where both pilots got food poisoning, and that's the reason why today pilots aren't allowed to eat the same food.
Did it have a happy ending?
Yeah, it was true. The plane really did come down, but it was a famous story.
And what did you do in The Bad and the Beautiful?
I was the singer. It was Vincent Minnelli's film, and he wanted to do what he had done at home with his wife, Judy Garland. So he recreated it with me.
You sang a song called Don't Blame Me.
Yes.
Speaking of motion pictures, it's an honor when you're asked to perform one of the songs at the Oscar presentations. And you were asked to, and you performed an Irving Berlin song.
I did.
What was the year for that thing?
That was 1955. It was the first year on the Gobel Show.
And I think you once told me privately that this was the last nominated song that Irving Berlin had?
Yes, it was.
And he personally asked you to sing it?
He had them call me from his New York office, which was very flattering indeed. I guess he watched the Gobel Show. And anyhow, there was more to it than that. Rosie Clooney was the other girl, or, you know, there's always five.
Mm-hmm.
Rosie Clooney was the other girl singer, and she was singing The Man That Got Away. So I suppose when they told him that, they said to him, pick somebody else, and he picked me.
I happen to have a snippet of that Academy Awards presentation. The voice you hear at the very beginning of this is Bob Hope introducing you.
Among our blessings, here is Miss Peggy King.
When I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep, and I fall asleep counting my blessings. When my bankroll getting small, I think of when I had none at all.
Counting your blessings.
I'm applauding you too, Peggy.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. That was great. Oh, so many years ago. What a wonderful memory that was.
It was a great honor to be asked to do this.
This was many, many years before Eminem got
many,
the award
many
for a rap song.
Yeah, I'll say it was.
Unbelievable.
Sure.
We have a song right now that is from the Wish Upon a Star LP that you did. And it's called Let There Be Love. And it's kind of a shorty because Wish Upon a Star, we should tell people that it's kind of...
It's the story of my life and my career.
It's your musical autobiography.
It talks about being a little girl and wanting to be a singer. And
it has the little snippet that we had at the beginning of the Hunts. That's where I got that from that. And it also has a song called Let There Be Love, which you did as a band singer, right?
This is what I'm talking about, having been on the road with the band, What I really say here is the girl of the band has to sit on the stand and wait for her chance to get up and sing.
You got your chance, and this is what you're saying here.
Oh, let there be you, and let there be me. Let there be oysters under the sea. Let there be wind and occasional rain, chili con carne and sparkling champagne. Let there be birds in the tree, someone to bless me whenever I sneeze. Let there be cuckoos, a lark in the dark. But first of all, please, let there be
that one fades out because it's part of Wish Upon a Star, and one kind of fades into the other songs. I actually snipped out and Let There Be Love. We're going to move to Lazy Afternoon, and this came out around the time that one of the most popular shows on Broadway was The Music Man. Meredith Wilson wrote some wonderful, wonderful songs for that musical.
He certainly did. Well, this is my first independent record after I left Columbia.
So you picked this one out yourself, the song.
I picked all these songs.
Oh, okay.
And for change.
One that you picked was Till There Was You.
Actually, I had seen the play and I loved it. And also, Meredith Wilson was a big friend of John Scott Trotter's.
Right.
And I wanted to do his song.
There were bells on the hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all, till there was you. There were birds in the sky, but I never saw them winging. No, I never saw them at all, till there was you. And there was music, and there were wonderful roses. They tell me in sweet, fragrant meadows of dawn and dew. There was love all around, but I never heard it singing. No, I never heard it at all, till there was you. No,
till there was you.
I love that, where you did that song.
I love that song. I was growing up, you know, I was allowed to sing with a little more of a womanly sound by then. Doesn't sound like a little girl anymore.
No. Peggy, growing up. You sure sounded like a little girl on the George Gobel show, though.
Yeah, well, that was deliberate, I think. I mean, I think they wanted me to.
Because then you'd be kind of like harmless.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
I want to point out, Till There Was You was a hit record for Anita Bryant, and also the Beatles did a version of Till There Was You. But you know something? I have always associated that song really as a female song. Even though the Beatles did a nice job on it, I always have just felt that that was like written really for a woman.
Well, it was. A woman sings it in the play.
Barbara Cook did it on Broadway,
which
of course.
She's one of the great singers of
Fantastic.
All time.
We're going to move to Friendly Star. And this is from PK in L.A., I
PK in L.A., yeah. Friendly Star is from a Judy Garland film from about 1951 called Summer Stock with Gene Kelly. And it just happens to be one of my favorite songs.
There's a star for everyone, brightly shining in the sky. It seems to be a part of our destiny. Every night I eagerly watch them all go drifting by, but I can't seem to find the one the heavens assigned to me.
As opposed to the other type of stars. There are some unfriendly stars somewhere, but that was a friendly star.
I guess so.
Yes. I'm Ronnie Allen, and I got this quizzical look from Peggy. She's going, what is Ronnie saying here? Yeah, I like to do some unusual things. I like to say certain things during my shows so that people know it's a Ronnie Allen show, even if they don't necessarily make a lot of sense.
I see.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Moving right along. Actually, I want to tell my listeners a secret. Don't listen, Peggy. Just between you and me, folks, at the end of the show, I'm going to ask Peggy to do something, but I don't know if she's going to be willing to do it, but I'll keep my fingers crossed. Maybe I can convince her. Oh, I'm sorry, Peggy. Okay, now you can listen to me. We got time for a couple more songs. There's this one that was written by Jerome Kern. You did a Jerome Kern album, and I always want to say CD, but actually when you did them, I think...
They were CDs.
Oh, they were by this time? Okay, so this one was a CD.
Yeah, they were CDs. I'm more grown up, you can tell.
Is all of your material available on CD now?
I would think so. Every time I turn around, somebody's sending me a new announcement.
You mean
about
like Girl Meets Boy?
I do not know about Girl Meets Boy because Sony bought Columbia, so that I don't know.
One of the Jerome Kern songs that you did from Till the Clouds Roll By was Don't Ever Leave Me. Any particular story for Don?
No, none at all, except that Mike Renzi, the great Mike Renzi, was playing for me, and I wanted a song where he would get a chance to show himself.
Does he ever on this one?
Yeah, he does.
He sure does. Peggy King, Don't Ever Leave Me.
I was created for one man alone. It wasn't easy to find. Now that I've found him, I wonder just how I could have lived right up to now. I am just something completed by you. I am no one, just part of two. Don't ever leave me. Now that you're here is where you belong. Everything seems so right when you're near. When you're away, it's all wrong. I'm so dependent. When I need comfort, I always run to you. So don't ever leave me, 'cause if you do, I'll have no one to run to.
Peggy, we have time for one more song, but before we get to it, I want to acknowledge something. A gentleman named Al Kopek, who has worked on our Jersey Girl Sing website, which I've talked about. This particular interview is going to be on a website called jerseygirlsing.com, jerseygirlsing.com. Also going to be broadcast on WNJC Radio, 1360 AM, which serves the Philadelphia area. The gentleman who created this particular website for myself and Denise Ferry and Bernadette Carroll is Al Kopek. Al also created a Peggy King website. It's www.peggyking.org. That's PEGGYKING.org. What's the question? If I tell you the answer is no, the people might ask about Peggy King. The answer is no. Okay, the question is she one of the King sisters?
Oh! I'm not one of the King sisters. There were 10 of them, and as each one got older, the younger one took over, and even the younger one was much older than I. They were from the 20s and 30s. And I love them, and I think they're wonderful.
Right. We want to tie up all the loose ends before we do our finale. Peggy, before we do the last number, I want to ask if you have any people that you'd like to acknowledge during this particular show. I mean, this is your opportunity. You now have a forum. Anybody you want to say hello to? Or we just want to say hello to everybody in general? Because you're afraid to, if you say hello to one person, you're going to forget a lot.
Then everybody else will say, why didn't you say hello to me?
So why don't you say hello to all of your fans?
Well, I live in the Philadelphia area, so hello, Philadelphia. I've lived here for 35 years, and I love it. I am a Philadelphian.
Hello, Boston. You're allowed to play that record now. You don't have to ban that record.
None of my records have been banned recently.
Not recently. We have time for one more recording, and I actually had picked something out, but I just put it aside because I want to ask you a favor, Peggy. I cannot thank you enough. I know you're going to say to me, well, Ronnie, it's my pleasure and everything. I really want to do it. But, you know, it's very special because you are the first person to do a live interview with me, with my current affiliation.
And I really like live interviews.
I mean, this is live. I mean, like, in the studio. It's face-to-face. That's what I mean. It's a face-to-face interview. And it, to me, it's more fun because I could actually look at you. I don't interrupt you as often
as I
would.
You noticed I did my hair, too.
You did your hair.
I combed my hair and everything.
You're all dressed up, the high heels and everything.
Oh, sure.
I came in pajamas, but, you know, you came all dressed up. You didn't tell me you were going to dress up, Peggy. Why'd you do that? I told you it was radio.
I know, but in Philadelphia, we take our clothes seriously.
You've had a wonderful career.
I have. I was lucky.
And we want to point out, Peggy, that you still do sing at various functions.
Oh, I'm always singing. I just came back from doing a big show in L.A., and I still sing.
And Sally Kellerman was on that show.
Yes, she was.
A couple of other quick things we want to mention. Those of you who are fans of the National Football League, raise your hand. Oh, a lot of hands out there. Before Hank Williams Jr. did his little All My Rowdy Friends, you know, as the opening to the NFL football games, what you may not be aware of is Peggy King wrote a song called To Play the Game, and it was used as the opening.
It was the theme song of the...
And it was the theme song of the NFL.
That's right, the NFL.
So you have done...
I write jingles, and I write industrial shows, and I write a lot of my own things. That's my other thing I do.
In other words, you have not retired.
No, okay. I haven't.
Okay, I'm going to hold my breath now. I want to ask you to do me a favor. I could play one more recording.
You want me to drive home?
I want you to drive. Yeah, I want you to drive me home so
that
this way you can get lost and not
mess.
Me. Yeah. This way I could turn to you. This way I could be the backseat driver. You see, on the way you were the backseat driver. Ronnie, we're lost. Ronnie, we're never going to get here.
No, but it was not your fault.
I know it was not my fault.
It was his fault, really.
Oh, okay. Peggy, would you do me a favor? We want to close the show. Could you sing a song, like, live? I found one of your tracks, and it's a song that you did live at the Friends of Old Time Radio Convention 1 year ago today, and I just figured if you still can do it, maybe we could close the show with it.
Well, sure, of course.
Oh, thank you.
What would you do if I said no?
I would cut it out of the tape. You're forgetting. This is not a live show. What do you think this is?
I'll do it if I can sing Gershwin. I'm a Gershwin girl.
Okay. Well, there's a song I'd like you to sing if you can. It's Someone to Watch Over Me.
Yeah, it's Gershwin.
Just happen to have it in the machine here.
Well, I'm glad of that.
And I'm glad you're going to do it. Otherwise, we'd end up with just a music track without a singer.
That would be interesting. I had a wonderful time, Ronnie. Thank you.
I had a wonderful time, too, but now we got to try to get back in the traffic.
I'm just thinking of all the people who are going to say, I didn't know she was alive.
The track I have in the machine is just a piano player, I believe. Who is the piano player doing this?
That's the wonderful Joe Fitzmartin. He plays for me a lot. He's just wonderful.
He is wonderful, and you are too, Peggy. Thank you.
You
again so much. Folks, it's not Memorex. This is going to be live. Peggy singing Someone to Watch Over Me right now.
There's a saying old says that love is blind. Still we're often told, seek and ye shall find. So I'm going to seek a certain lad I have.
looking everywhere, haven't found him yet. He's the big affair I cannot forget. Only man I ever think of with regret. I'd like to add his initial to my monogram. Tell me, where is the shepherd for this lost lamb? There's a somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that he turns out to be someone who'll watch over me. I'm a little lamb who's lost in the wood. I know I could always be good to one who'd watch over me. Although he may be the man some girls think of as handsome, to my heart he carries the key. Won't you tell him, please, to put on some speed, follow my lead, oh how I need.
That's the show. I hope you enjoyed it, and I want to thank Peggy King once again for being so nice. Going to leave you with a couple of bonus tracks right now. This first one is from Peggy's album called Oh What a Memory We Made Tonight. Here's a song written by Harold Arlen and Johnny Mercer. Peggy King sings Riding on the Moon.
Number 13 doesn't scare me, 'cause I'm dressed up in a rainbow and I'm riding on the moon. Old Jinx had me cornered, but I found out when to shake it, and my true love helped me break it. Now I'm riding on the moon. Lightning, don't you dare to strike me. Whirlwind, don't you whirl. Thunder, stay away from Lady Luck's favorite girl. You're my ring of rose, so I can't be heavy-hearted, 'cause I'm right back where I started, and I'm riding on the moon. I don't own a horseshoe, threw away my four-leaf clover, 'cause my blue day's all over, and I'm riding on the moon. Never cross my fingers, broken mirrors don't alarm me, 'cause there's nothing that can harm me since I'm riding on the moon. I'm swinging on stars above me, I sail through the night. Since you told me you still love me, I'm high as a kite. Oh, I found my happy ending, and there's nothing can go wrong now, 'cause I'm here where I belong now, and I'm right.
Finally, one more selection from the album called Till the Clouds Roll By. These are songs written by Jerome Kern. Here's Peggy King singing Dearly Beloved.
Dearly beloved, how clearly I see somewhere in heaven you are fashioned for me.
Be mine.